everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Politically Incorrect Podcast. I'm Jim Williams, your host. The big story this week was the blockbuster sexual abuse trial of former USA Gymnastics team doctor Larry Nassar. Now, he was sentenced to 40 to 175 years for sexually abusing young athletes for over two decades. Five directors of the USAG board have already resigned amid that fallout. The president and AD at Michigan State University have also resigned, and all 18 members of the board of USA Gymnastics will tender their resignations sometime before Wednesday. But this is just the start of the story, okay? Certainly not the end. 156 brave young women testified at the Nassar trial. They all chronicled how he abused them, how no one in power stepped in to stop this horrific abuse of children. So now the investigation of the worst scandal in American sports history begins. Look for Congress to ramp up its investigation into USA Gymnastics, but they're not the only one. They're likely to look into the USA Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, Michigan State University, and they're all going to come under the microscope, as they should. Our guest again is Evan Weiner. Now, normally we talk politics here, but this is another case where the two, sports and politics, have become intertwined. So we're going to get to Evan in a minute, but first, talk a little bit about Dennis Miller. You know, our buddy Dennis Miller is one of the most well-known and well-respected political satirists of our time. You know, he started on Saturday Night Live, moved on to his own Emmy Award-winning show on HBO, did a nationally syndicated radio program. He's a best-selling author. But he reigns at his best every time you see his stand-up show. I mean, on political satire, Dennis Miller is still on point almost 40 years in the business. Now, those of you out in the Reno area, you're going to get a chance to see Dennis. He's going to be performing live at the Silver Legacy Resort and Casino Friday night, February 10th. Now, tickets begin at only $49.50 and can be purchased at silverlegacy.com. But we have a very special gift for you, okay? So get a pencil, all right, or type it into your computer. Here's what you need to do. You can get 20% off a hotel room on the night of the show when you purchase the show ticket and use this offer code TIX18. That's T-I-X-18, all right? And you'll get 20% off of a hotel room at the Silver Legacy Casino and still get to see Dennis Miller. That, my friends, is a deal. So check out all the information at silverlegacy.com. That's silverlegacy.com. Remember to use the offer code TIX18, all right? Okay, my guest is Evan Weiner. And Evan, of course, is a expert in the business of sports. He's written six books. He is a prolific public speaker. He talks on the subject all over the world. And full disclosure, both Evan and I have many friends in USOC, and we know many of the coaches, many of the people that are involved in the organization and have over the years. So, Evan, you know, this is really an amazing situation, and it really is only the tip of the iceberg. We need to get in here, and we need to find out what happened, but to do it in a judicial manner.
Well, it's going to be a number of people that we need to examine here. Yeah, the United States Olympic Committee first. What did they know? What did they hear? And did they ignore it? Then, of course, there's USA Gymnastics. Same mm-hmm. question. What did they know? When did they hear it? And Michigan State University, what did you know and when did you hear it? Yeah. And then ultimately, the International Olympic Committee and Thomas Bach, maybe not Bach personally, but somebody mm-hmm. at the International Olympic Committee, because Dr. Nassar was at four different Olympics, which means he was around the Olympic movement for 12 mm-hmm. years. Actually, more than 12 years, because he was working probably with USA Gymnastics before he got to the Olympics. So at least mm-hmm. 12 years. And all of them have questions. All of them should be answering questions. And my suggestion, when the reporters get to South Korea and when mm-hmm. Thomas Bach gives his news conference, forget about the unification of the North Korean teams and the South Korean teams. That's all politics.
Mm-hmm.
What did you know as the governing body overseeing everything in terms of Olympics? What did you know? Did you know anything? Did you hear the rumors? Because obviously there were rumors going around. And mm-hmm. why didn't you react to the rumors if you did hear those rumors? And I guess Congress, because it allows the United States Olympic Committee the freedom to operate through congressional laws and tax breaks and all that other stuff, needs to get involved. But Congress might be busy doing other things like chasing down secret societies. Maybe there was a secret society that was in USA Gymnastics.
You know, one of the things, and I think, let me just say this from the top, both you and I have very good friends with the USOC.
Yeah.
And we have had workings with the USOC, as at least I have had workings with the USOC. And back in the day, as the executive producer of Big Ten Sports, I was heavily involved with Michigan State as a member, obviously, of the Big Ten. So there's a lot of people in this game that we know. And it does push the envelope as to something I wanted to get out there. And that is, although both you and I agree on this, they know. The way that the Olympics USOC sets up the different sports is they have their own governing bodies, and so they work literally as a separate organization reporting to the USOC. So, but that being said, getting rid of the entire US gymnastics hierarchy doesn't necessarily mean that's going to make it better.
No, it's not. And, of course, there was that report that it was sent to Dr. Emmert, Mark Emmert, the NCAA
right.
president. That now, of course, we just know right now it was a report, and
mm-hmm.
we will leave it as a report.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, if there was a report and the NCAA heard about it, given the Sandusky case, does the NCAA have to really come down with the anvil on Michigan State's program?
Mm-hmm.
I do remember, and I don't want to equate this with Sandusky, but I do remember when Dr. Emmert went to Penn State and announced whatever agreements came up that put Penn State on probation, and it talked about how football should never overtake a university and shouldn't be the end-all for any university. But as you know, money talks. And as Peter Uberoth, who is then the baseball commissioner, who
by the way, was USOC president.
USOC president. I was going to get to that in a
minute. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to
cut you. But yeah, you know, his job today. Anyway, so getting back to Uberoth. And it was April Fool's Day, 1987, and Major League Baseball sold its official camera status to Fuji. And I happened to be talking to Peter on the side, and Peter came up to me and he said, I do have a question for you. I said, go ahead, Peter. He said, what is the most important thing that any sports organization has and has to protect at all costs? And I said, you're the professor, not me. I'm just a lowly reporter. And he said, it's the logo. And you find time and time and time again, and I, again, this was April Fool's Day, 1987, so we're almost 31 years later, I found more and more and more over the years that sports organizations go to the extreme length to protect that logo, USOC logo. What's that worth? When you watch NBC programming right now, you see that the interlocking five rings. What is that worth? And so my question is, do you ignore all these allegations over the years, whether it's Sandusky, whether it's the U.S. gymnastics team, and you ignore it because you're afraid that it's going to tarnish the logo and you're going to lose money? And that's a question that needs to be asked, whether it's on the Penn State issue with Dr. Emmert or it's this issue. And, of course, right now it's way, way, way too early to put the horse before the cart. And other than asking some very basic questions, we got to find out what they knew, when they knew it, and then ask, why didn't you do anything about it?
Right. And then we have the situation with the coaches. I mean, there's a number of coaches. Again, people that we know, people that we respect. And, well, Tom Izzo at Michigan State. We know Tom. Yeah. I've known Tom since he was an assistant to Judd Heathcote out at Michigan State.
And Tom was Steve Mariucci's. They went to high school together. We both know Tom, and Tom is, again, coming under the gun, allegedly. Mm-hmm. And he's the word allegedly at this point. And that's the allegation. There's nothing been proven. There needs to be an investigation. But, yeah, names have been drawn into this thing.
Right. And the I think the key thing here is with the Me Too movement, with the fact that 156 young women, and I applaud them all, were able to go out there and testify against Larry Nassar. I'm thinking that this is going to basically, somebody's head's going to have to be on the block for this. And there might be two or three heads, you know.
Well, the Michigan State president is gone.
Yeah, but that, I mean, so is the athletic director, but, you know, who cares? You know, that's, I mean, they care, but that's not going to be good enough in my mind. And the USOC group, you know, getting rid of the board of trustees, you know, I don't know. I just think that there's going to have to be a total from top to bottom look of all the organizations under the umbrella of the USOC.
Yeah, I think that we have to be careful. We can't jump the gun and say, okay, this guy knew, this woman knew. We've just got through the trial, and the trial was rather nasty and rather messy. And everything was laid out. But it was only laid out with Dr. Nassar and the gymnast. It was not laid out with the IOC or the USOC or US Gymnastics or the United States Olympic Committee. Or, if this is important too, did the networks know? Did the partners know? Did the marketing partners know? And if they knew, if Dick Ebersole over the years knew about what was going on, or Mark Lazarus now, if they knew, and they have to be brought in because they're partners, they're paying for this performance that they show in the Olympics. And as you know, and as I know, the centerpiece of the Olympic coverage in the United States is gymnastics. It's not the men's basketball program, the men's basketball team. It's not all the other sports. They basically build up storylines featuring American gymnasts. So did they know as well? And if they did know, were they worried about protecting, again, the five rings, protecting the peacock, and protecting their investment in this? And that's an aspect that I think should also be looked at, because NBC is the biggest benefactor. They pour the most money into the Olympics. So did they know? And I think that's kind of interesting. If you go to Ebersole or you go to Mark Lazarus and say, or Brian Roberts at Comcast and say, did you hear anything? And if you did, why didn't you say anything?
Right. And, you know, I think at this point, because we are so early in what will now be the second phase of the investigation after Larry Nassar's deal. Who's going to conduct that? I mean, you're going to have a outside group, because you can't, I don't think any internal investigation from the USOC is necessarily going to cut it.
The FBI?
Perhaps, I don't know. I mean, it might be a governmental situation where the government puts an oversight committee in there.
Yeah, Congress almost has to do that, because Congress created the United States Olympic Committee, and right. John McCain was a champion for the United States Olympic Committee. I don't mean champion in terms of getting a medal, but he mm-hmm. pushed the legislation way back when. It has to be Congress, you would think, and you know, we do know, because it went to court, it was a criminal action. Mm-hmm. And so now it's the civil action, and we will see. Again, we can't get too far ahead of the curve here, because we don't know what we don't know, and
right.
We don't know what evidence was collected in the deposition part of the Nassar trial that could be applied somewhere else. We don't even know what witnesses were part of the deposition, what witnesses weren't part of the deposition. Until mm-hmm. that comes out, we have to just sit back and wait for the facts to come out as we know them.
Right.
You don't know what you don't know. And I think John Madden told me that one day, you don't know what you don't know. And I find that quite true. So I think that the investigation should be centered on the following people: the International Olympic Committee, obviously, mm-hmm. the United States Olympic Committee, USA Gymnastics, the NCAA, as well as
Michigan State.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Michigan State, and also the Big Ten. The Big Ten's big business, as you know. They have their own TV network. Mm-hmm. When they get 100,000 people to see a football game, that's nothing to sneeze at. That is a business, and this is a
business. These are all billion-dollar businesses. I mean,
yes.
We're talking about
yes.
The United States
yep.
Olympic Committee is a billion-dollar business. As you rightfully said, the only two sports that matter when it comes to, you know, ratings in the summer games, it's gymnastics. In the winter games, it's figure skating.
Figure skating. Ping pong.
Yeah, it's that the key points here. Okay, are as you laid out. You know, who did these people know? What did they know? Did they know anything? And how was a cover up of this magnitude? How is it crafted? I mean, that's it. You know, that's going to be what we're going to find out. The other thing we're going to find out is with 156 young ladies that testified against Larry Nassar, again, to your point, you know, as everything gets adjudicated here, is the possibility of a massive class action suit against both the USOC and potentially against USA Gymnastics. There's a lot of money on the table here.
The other thing, and I don't know if this applies or not, but if I was a reporter covering this and approaching it, I'd be asking about, did the AMA, the American Medical Association, did they know anything? Did other doctors hear anything? And because, as you know, physicians don't exactly operate in a vacuum. They, you know, there are referrals and all that other stuff. Did other doctors know? And will that investigation, the next investigation, include associates of Dr. Nassar? And in the Leaving No Stone Unturned department, I think that's something that also should be approached. Let's talk to his associates. Let's talk to his family. Did he talk to anybody in his family about it? Did he talk to his friends about it? Did other people know? And were other people frightened to say anything? I think that's another part, at least in my mind, if I was covering the story, I would actually drive it also to that area.
Mm-hmm. Well, Larry Nassar was the main doctor of the USA Gymnastics, but he wasn't the only doctor of USA Gymnastics.
That's what I mean. And also, he didn't just treat gymnastics, gymnasts, rather. He treated others besides gymnasts. So it's the investigation, I'm not sure how far flung it was in terms of this trial, if the scope was narrowed to just these accusations. But if you're doing a full-fledged investigation, I think you have to talk to other people and find out what did you know? And if you knew anything, why didn't you say anything? And so I think this is going to be or could be a very, very expansive investigation. And we'll see what Congress does. Usually Congress does call these people in. And as you know, with the steroid show back in 2005, it was a big show. And this could be a big show as well. But I think that Congress, maybe the FBI, maybe the drug enforcement people, although it doesn't seem drugs were involved in this thing. I think there's a whole bunch of options out there that should be researched. Let's put it that way.
Let's step aside for a second. You know, our buddy Dennis Miller is one of the most well-known and well-respected political satirists of our time. You know, he started on Saturday Night Live, moved on to his own Emmy Award-winning show on HBO, did a nationally syndicated radio program. He's a best-selling author. But he reigns at his best every time you see a stand-up show. I mean, on political satire, Dennis Miller is still on point almost 40 years in the business. Now, those of you out in the Reno area, you're going to get a chance to see Dennis. He's going to be performing live at the Silver Legacy Resort and Casino Friday night, February 10th. Now, tickets begin at only $49.50 and can be purchased at silverlegacy.com. But we have a very special gift for you, okay? So get a pencil, all right, or type it into your computer. Here's what you need to do. You can get 20% off a hotel room on the night of the show when you purchase the show ticket and use this offer code TIX18. That's T-I-X-18, all right? And you'll get 20% off of a hotel room at the Silver Legacy Casino and still get to see Dennis Miller. That, my friends, is a deal. So check out all the information at silverlegacy.com. That's silverlegacy.com. Remember to use the offer code TIX18, all right? I think that you're right in that there's a lot of moving parts in here, and there's a lot of information that needs to be, you know, qualified and quantified. And I think everybody wants to get to an end here, but this is this is just the first step, and there's a long way to go. And, you know, the other part of the coin is we may find that there was other things that ended up into this mix. So this may not be the first person to go to jail. There might be more involved, but it certainly, in my mind, I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. It has the potential of being likely the biggest scandal in United States sports history.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, we're not talking about just NBC here, because the Olympics are every 4 years. There are other networks that cover gymnastics. And there may be producers called down, there may be announcers come down, there may be analysts called down, and just knocking at the door, just saying, hey, listen, we need help here. Did you hear anything over the years? And it wouldn't surprise me that you'd have TV producers, because as you know, because you were one, TV producers and directors, but mostly producers, have that FaceTime before events, along with the announcers, to talk about the telecast and what should we know about the telecast. So there may be some announcers pulled in here as well. You're right. This has the potential to be a big scandal. But then again, so should have Jerry Sandusky. And that thing seemed to meander and linger. And Penn State did get hit with this big penalty that they negotiated. But eventually that penalty kind of went away as well, as you know. They,
right.
The sanctions are off of them.
Right. But I think that in this case, I think that the with the Me Too movement, with the hypersensitive nature of what's going on, with what happened with the trial with Larry Nassar, I don't see how the NCAA doesn't really look at this in as it works its way through with the policy of saying whatever penalty we gave to Penn State, if and there's a big if here, if Michigan State's violation was worse, we must do worse.
That's true, except right now the NCAA is working itself through an FBI investigation with payoffs mm-hmm. in the college basketball industry.
Right.
I don't know if Michigan State's part of that investigation, but as of this point, the NCAA has done nothing, and we've had 10 people arrested with the basketball inquiry by the FBI. And so I think that it's probably going to be a long while before we know anything. Again, we don't know anything. We know what we know, right. which isn't much. And I think the NCAA, you know, I think the best they could do right now is just say, you know, we're proceeding with an investigation, more to come, and let the investigators do the investigation. I think that there'll be all kind of allegations thrown out there. There'll be all kind of people with megaphones saying, oh, we knew this, and the NCAA should do this, this, and this. I think that we have to, again, take a step back and let the people who are professional investigators do the professional investigation. I will say this. This is one thing I do know, and I could say with absolute certainty. The billable hours are going to make the lawyers rich.
There's no question about that.
I think that's the only thing that I could safely say about this whole affair is that the lawyers will become richer. But then again, that happens in all these cases. And the billable hours, what, $800 an hour for some of them, they are going to make out. And they're the first ones who you could safely say anything about because there are going to be tons and tons of lawsuits.
Well, we're less than 2 weeks away from the Winter Games in South Korea, and it's quite possible this story will permeate into what goes on in those games as well.
Oh, it should. I mean, we're 13 days away as of this taping. We're Saturday, and but as you know, people get to the Olympic venue days before the start of the Olympics.
Right.
So this is a story.
They're already there.
Yeah, internationally, it's going to be a big story. Internationally. In the United States, it'll be a big story, but we have the Super Bowl that is going to tarp it down somewhat. But once February 5th and February 6th rolls along, and after the whoever gets the MVP in the Super Bowl, and yeah, and it's regardless of what the final score is and who wins, the Patriots win or lose will be the major story on the next day, and then off to the Olympics on February the 6th. And I think you'll start seeing a lot on February 6th. I mean, you may see some stuff next week, obviously, but I think the Super Bowl is going to suck all the oxygen out of the room. And rightfully so, because it is the biggest event in the United States sports-wise, and it does impact every community because of Super Bowl parties and all that other stuff. I think once the Super Bowl's out of the way, then this thing explodes with the Olympics.
Well, I think that the other part of this is that we've got, you know, you spoke about John McCain.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether we agree with his politics at times, that's up for debate. But what I've never doubted is the sincerity of Senator McCain, who is a genuinely nice man. He has been joined, or should be joined, I'm sorry, by probably somebody you know well, Christian Gillibrand, who's a senator from New York.
Yeah,
I think Yeah, I think we're going to see McCain, Gildebrand, and a few other strong senators who have been involved in the Me Too movement and that whole situation of cleaning up the mess that is sexual harassment. And I think that I wouldn't be surprised if Senator Gildebrand is the person who takes up the gauntlet and runs with it.
Well, you know, obviously she might. Congress has to get involved because it was them that created the USOC. And I think that the USOC, I think from people like Peter Ueberroth and everybody on down to even the partners, Mark Lazarus, they have to get out and they have to talk and they have to be honest. And I know that lawyers are not going to let some of these people talk because they don't want entrapment by accident or got you by accident. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And, you know, the House committee, remember Tom Davis called the House committee for steroids.
Mm-hmm. Right. I covered the hearings.
Yeah. And I think, Henry Waxman was part of that committee as well.
He was with
that committee rather. So obviously the oversight committee, the House oversight committee and the Senate oversight committee can look into whatever they want. And I think that the first sign that we're going to see in congressional action is the oversight committees, because that's where it all starts. And
right.
I think that for those who actually know how Congress works, or for those who have been quoted in the Congressional Journal like me in 2004, I think that knowing how things work, the first people who get a hold of this will be the Oversight Committee, and
right.
They're the first ones who should be holding the hearings, and then we'll see after that. But my feeling is that you may see sometime next week, the Oversight Committee start making some noise about, yes, we should schedule hearings, and we don't care that everybody's in South Korea. Besides, the gymnasts aren't in South Korea. We could get the U.S. gymnastics team in Washington immediately, the team being the people on top. We could get the Michigan State people in Washington. You go from Lansing to either Chicago and Detroit, and you're there in 2.5 hours by plane, or you take a private plane from Lansing. And I think that's where it all starts. And I think that I will hold off any judgment until I see those people start talking and talking about real life things. I mean, you got Ellie Raceman who's out there, and Nancy Hogshead Maker is out there, and that's all fine and good. And I'm sure that Ellie is going to be testifying in front of some committee at some point. She seems to be the one who, more so than the political people, who's ready to carry the ball in this case and take wherever it needs to be taken to. And she looks like she's going to be one of the leaders on this.
I give her great credit because that took guts, and she stepped up without question.
Yeah, you're bucking the system, and you're bucking the system that made you.
Yeah.
In her case, I mean, because she went through and had to go through all of that. And, you know, people off the street don't go to the Olympics in the United States. They have to go through the process. And you have to go through the USOC if you want to get to the Olympics. You just can't do it any other way. And I experienced that many years ago on Wall Street when the USOC explained how they go about selecting people. And I said to, I forgot who was there, we're on Wall Street. So I said, if you're going to the Lower East Side, Jason Williams grew up on Allen Street, and say Jason Williams didn't go through the United States Olympic Committee, could he have played on the Olympics? And they said, no, everybody has to go through us. So they have a lot of explaining to do.
Well, and the other part of it is that there is pressure. If you're a doctor okay? And you're an athlete and you need to see the doctor, and you decide, you know, I'm not so sure I want to, because, you know, I'm not crazy about what he's doing. And the next day you come out and you don't, you know, you've practiced and you come out and you don't meet the expectations, then you're sent right back to the doctor, and yep. you're penalized for not being with him. So in many ways, you know, this thing fed right into Nasser, because, and even if I were to say, I don't want to be around the gymnast, I don't want to be around this doctor anymore, the coaches and the doctor hold so much of your future in their hands. You have no choice. You either are on the team and do what they tell you, or you're off the team.
And that brings us to another point. And this is not off subject, but it is off subject to this. Where were the parents?
That's the easiest question. And I totally understand. It amazes me in this day and time that Larry, that Nasser was able to hold these one-on-one sessions with young women, and there was literally nobody else there. There was no, you know, no nurse there, no one else. I mean, that to me is amazing.
The thing that, I coached hockey when my son was young, and the thing that I always never understood is just how the parents, and this is a whole separate issue for a whole other show, but how the parents push the kids, and the kids, some of them are thoroughly miserable being pushed.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the parents see at the end of the day a college scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the end of the day, and I was in the hockey part of it, and mm-hmm. I once told a parent, and I've told you the story off the air, mm-hmm. about we were in Yonkers one day, and we have 8-9-year-old kids, and the rink in Yonkers is on a hill adjacent to the New York State Thruway and has no enclosure on the side, and mm-hmm. it faces northwest, and in the winter, the northwest wind just comes right in, straight out of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 2 degrees, and this parent brought his son in, and he had 102 fever. And I said, why is he here? He said, well, he's got to play. I said, he's not making it to the NHL. Nobody from Westchester County is in the NHL right now. And why are you exposing him to other kids and getting all the other 16 mm-hmm. kids that are here sick? Why would you want to do that? And he reported me to the guys who ran the rink, and I had a talk with the guys who ran the rink, and they said, well, he paid his money, so they could do whatever they want.
The coach, you don't have to put him in.
No, I had him sit in the penalty box away from everybody, so he wouldn't get sick. But, you know, the parents are crazy. You know about the hockey dad in Massachusetts that killed another one mm-hmm. years ago in a fight. Over a silly hockey game. I could tell you stories in the very rich Fairfield County, Connecticut, where Greenwich and New Canaan and Darien are. And there were instances where New Canaan would play Darien, and there would be the local cops from Stanford coming in to break up the fight, not on ice, but in the stands between the Darien and the New Canaan parents. Because they took it so seriously, but that again is another story.
Right, but if they, you know, to put a bow on this particular situation, the deal, you know, on the parents' side, specifically with the, you know, United States Gymnastics, is that you're dealing with athletes at this point at the highest possible level of their sport. They have gone through all of the, you know, from age 5 all the way up, you know, they've had nothing but the best coaching, nothing but the best training, and now they're elite athletes. But yet they are, you know, that's where the coaching and the parents and everything becomes so amplified.
They're all teenagers too.
Right.
Because the average gymnast is over the hill at, what, about 19?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can push it to 2021.
Yeah, but not very often. But you got your one shot as a teenager. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I fail to understand. And I've failed to understand. I'm going to be 62 years old. I've been involved with youth hockey for 30 years. And even before that, I was on the periphery in the 1980s over at Dorothy Hamill Rink up in Greenwich, Connecticut. So, you know, I did see, because I played there, and I did see the parents, how they behave. And it's like an aphrodisiac that you can get to a certain point with your kid, and you could live your life through your kid. And I just don't understand that mentality when the kid is 11 years old and the kid would rather be outside running down up and down the street than you know, basically being a professional athlete at 11. Right. Whether it's in hockey, whether it's in gymnastics, whether it's traveling baseball now, whether it's traveling basketball, these kids are all identified, particularly in basketball. They're identified by seventh grade by sneaker companies, which is why there is an investigation of the college basketball industry. They know by seventh grade, this guy is going to be this, this guy is going to be that, this girl is going to be this, this girl is going to be that. And they're put on the fast track with the sneaker companies. And I assume it's the same thing in gymnastics. In fact, it's probably even a faster track because you want them at their best by 15, 16, and 17.
Right. The window is much shorter in women's gymnastics.
I'm just looking up here, Mary Lou Retton. Mary Lou Retton, when I knew her, was 16 years old.
Right.
In 1984. She was 16. And that's the prime age.
Well, Nadia Comaneci and some of the Eastern European gymnasts during, you know, the old Eastern Bloc countries, you know, they were 12, 13 years old.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's a very, and they were at the highest possible level of gymnastics. So, well, Evan, I'll tell you what, I appreciate the conversation. And where can people catch you on Twitter and probably on social media?
Wiener, at Evan J. Wiener, EvanJWeiner, at Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, Evan Wiener. And of course, Sports Talk Florida, where actually I do ask these questions on the Sunday commentary.
Let's step aside for a second. You know, our buddy Dennis Miller is on the road, and I'll tell you what, if you haven't had a chance to see him, he's one of the most prolific political satirists of our time, long before John Stewart or John Oliver or Trevor Noah, or even for that matter, Bill Maher. There was Dennis Miller. He had his own show on HBO. He had a nationally syndicated television show, a nationally syndicated radio show. He's been the bestseller of four books and, of course, started his career at Saturday Night Live. So if you haven't seen Dennis Miller, you definitely should go out and take an opportunity to check him out. Now, coming Friday, February 10th, Dennis will be live. That's right, he's going to be live, and he's going to be in Reno, Nevada. Now, he'll be in Reno, Nevada at the Silver Legacy Casino. That's Silver Legacy Casino in Reno, Nevada. Tickets begin at only $49.50. Now, here's something we can do for you. We can take a little bit off of your hotel room that night. So if you buy a ticket and you book a hotel room for that evening, you're going to get 20% off that hotel room. All you have to do is use the code TIX18. That's right, TIX18, and you can absolutely get 20% off the room and see Dennis Miller, okay? That's a deal, my friends. That is absolutely a deal. All you have to do is go to silverlegacy.com. That's silverlegacy.com. Purchase the tickets, which begin at a very reasonable $49.50. Then book a room at the Silver Legacy Casino that night. You get 20% off. Just use the ticket code TIX18. That's TIX18, okay? So check out our buddy Dennis Miller. You're going to love him. Those of you out in the Reno, Nevada area, do it and do it now, okay? Well, that brings to a close yet another edition of the Politically Incorrect podcast. Now, if you haven't yet subscribed, first of all, shame on you. And second of all, it's easy to do, beginning with the fact that it is free, okay? Now, we have five places you can find us. One is, of course, iTunes. We are part of the App Podcast family. Then, of course, there's Google Play. We're on Blog Talk Radio. Also, part of the Stitcher app. All you have to do, type in Politically Incorrect Podcast into the Stitcher app, hit favorite, and you're good to go. Same is the case with TuneIn. If you're one of the 127 million people, myself included, who've downloaded the TuneIn app on your phone and or your tablet, again, type in Politically Incorrect Podcast, hit favorite, and each week you will get a new edition of the podcast sent right to your phone or your tablet, okay? So please do us a favor. Go out and subscribe to the Politically Incorrect Podcast today. We really would appreciate it. Special thanks to our guest, Evan Wiener, Business of Sports, and there's going to be a great deal more about this story, as there should be, and we will follow the investigations as we no doubt we'll see Congress get involved and hopefully begin to find out what happened and make sure that it never happens again. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us on this edition of the Politically Incorrect Podcast. I'm Jim Williams saying have a good weekend.